views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. So we have finished our Women of Wisdom Conference, and it was a fabulous weekend, well, almost a week long, with Donna Eden and Jalaja Bonham, and just fabulous. I'm still basking in that sisterhood of being together for so many days, and in that energy, that feminine energy. And today it just follows that we are, I brought an author, Sybil Dana Reynolds, who also is a writer and has written a book about, really about sisterhood, Ink and Honey. It's a historical novel. And she's also a spiritual director and the founder of Sacred Life Arts, an online sanctuary and resource center for women. For the past 25 years, she has led pilgrimages and retreats for women in the U.S. and Europe. Her writing and spiritual direction sessions are animated by themes drawn from Dana's passionate study of medieval themes, including monasticism, the sacred arts, and mysticism. And she's currently working on her next book, The Way of Belle Kor, which I think is a follow-up of Ink and Honey. She was ordained in the Catholic tradition, and she has a master's degree of theology in pastoral ministry, training as a spiritual director, and has background in religious studies and visual arts are foundational in her for her Sacred Life Artisan online classes. She incorporates an appreciation for the six senses into her teaching and spiritual direction. She believes taste, touch, smell, hearing, sight, and intuition are conduits to the divine and portals to the sacred imagination. Her websites are sacredlifearts.com and also for the book, inkandhoneythebook.com. So welcome, Dana.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, tell us about, you know, how long ago it was that you started working with women and, you know, these medieval themes and being a spiritual director. And, you know, what led you to that path for yourself?
Well, like many women, my life began, I'm 66, so back in the day, I started college, got married, raised children eventually, and then one day took a look in the mirror and said, who are you really? And set out on several years of deep inner work, interpersonal work, and then a spiritual journey that led me in many different directions. However, my heart and soul was always connected to Catholicism from a very early age, though I wasn't raised a Catholic. I always felt deeply connected to the nuns. I happened to go to a parochial school because it was close to where we lived, and I just fell in love with the sisters there, contrary to many people's experiences, and always wanted to be a nun. From the time I was about 5 years old up until I met my husband in high school, we were high school sweethearts, and then everything sort of shifted and changed after that. But the call to that kind of contemplative life that the sisters emulated was something that in my heart and soul I always was interested in and fascinated by. So as I grew older, I went along and studied more deeply the traditions of early Christianity, early Catholicism, and the monastic traditions in particular. So as my work developed, I went back to school, studied the visual arts, later on entered into a grassroots religious movement that was called Roman Catholic Women Priests, still exists today. I was part of that movement for several years and went through the formation program, became a priest, and then actually was ordained as a bishop in the movement, was the first American woman bishop. And that was a very important part of my life and very transformational for me because of what I learned, what I studied, and the experiences I had with women who were also deeply rooted in a spiritual tradition and on a path. And then, however, as life would have it, I really became very ill and needed to retire from my duties as active bishop in the movement. And in that period of retirement and recuperation, I had kind of an epiphany and an awakening of realizing that I needed to move on along on my path with God to broaden it in a way. And so now my ministry, I stepped away from the movement and retired as bishop, and my ministry became spiritual direction with women, a real focused kind of spiritual and creative work combined. So that I believe that women, through their creativity, through the gifts that each woman has, when she imbues that with prayer and with intention, she really can become a kind of sacred life artisan. And that's how Sacred Life Arts was born, out of that time when I was recuperating from illness and had a lot of time to journal and pray and have conversations with God about what's next. So Sacred Life Arts was born, and that is a real active part of my spiritual direction work. My training for that was at a wonderful place in Tucson, Arizona, called the Hezekiah School for Spiritual Direction. And so just all of this is to say to women, you know, sometimes you start something, you start a project, you feel called to a particular course of study or something that you want to explore, but you go, well, what will the end product be? What am I going to do with this when all is said and done? And I really encourage women to not question so much what the end product will be. I think our culture sort of implies that to us and impresses that upon us, that we must be product-oriented in some way, but rather the process of how is God guiding me today? Where am I feeling guided to explore, to grow, to nourish my gifts? And just watch how all of that begins to weave together into a tapestry. So someone may start out in one area in their life, one particular focus that they think is going to be a career path or their vocation, and it can evolve over time because we are organic creatures after all. And I always like to kind of encourage that in people that I meet, because my own journey, I know, has certainly, if you took it all apart and looked at all the different pieces of it, would look probably pretty disparate and like nothing was going to possibly fit together. And how it's so amazing how over time, over, you know, 30 years time, for example, all the pieces come together to create what truly is the real vocation, the real ministry, the life's work, if you would.
Yeah, that's so amazing how that happens in my life, too. And it's just like there's signposts along the way. There's little synchronicities, but you don't know where it fits in or what it means
exactly
to you. But but you know there's something there, and it unfolds later. And that's that going, allowing yourself to be in that process you talked about and allow yourself to be guided.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
So let's talk about your novel, Ink and Honey. It took you over 20 years to write. So we have 2 minutes before we go on our break,
okay.
But just tell us how that story came to you.
In a nutshell, the story is I was actually on vacation with my husband in California, looking in a shop window, deciding whether I was going to take the time to go in and try on a sweater that was there in the window. And all of a sudden, it was as though the top of my head was opened up and a canister dropped in, and I was somehow transported to another place and time and received, the only way I can describe it is as a total vision that was the story of Ink and Honey. And it was like a seed was dropped into me. And then over the next 20 years, through dreams, through research, through morning journaling sessions, I would discover more details and pieces of the story. So it was quite a mystical experience, and it was a 20-year journey. And that's another message I have today is to anyone who's writing out there or creating anything, you know, and maybe you've been at it for a long, long time. All I can say is just keep putting one foot in front of the other because you can get there. I never thought I would, but the book finally did become a reality. So, yeah.
Well, there
a
was
long
a
process.
Yeah, and that's amazing. This download, similar to me when I had my idea of doing Woman of Wisdom, it was like a download. It's like, you know, it just came in. And yet there were steps before that. I didn't know what they were leading me to, but when that came in, it was like, yeah, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how that started. So it's amazing how that happens to us. And we have to be open and willing and allow that to happen because you could have missed that message too if we're not paying attention is what I'm trying to say. We have to pay attention. Well, this is Chris Danish. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and hear more from Sybil Dana Reynolds.
Join the Pacific Northwest's EFT Tappers at the 4th Annual Tappers Gathering this March 1st at Bastyr University. Tapping enthusiasts from across the region will be sharing healing stories, learning different EFT applications, and forging a strong community. This event raises money and awareness for continuing EFT tapping scientific research. All net proceeds go to our 501c3 nonprofit conducting a study showing how EFT can alter gene expression. Bring your cards and information for a fulfilled day of networking and inspiring one another. Visit www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877. www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session or dial 415-235-2807.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to rock. You asked and we delivered. Friday, February 14th. New redesigned interactive websites.
Listen online or download the app. The Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio are bringing the heat. Go to thedrpatshow.com and transformationtalkradio.com. This Friday, you do not want to miss this.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Voice of Woman. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Sybil Dana Reynolds. And a perfect song to come back in, Pray Like a Woman, because we're talking about this. So, Dana, you've created this book, and it's a great book. I encourage people to get it and read it. And I love the title, Ink and Honey. But it was about a group of sisters of Belcourt who created their own spiritual order, a community. And I would love for you to describe that to us.
The Sisters of Belcourt, they were independent for their time, radically independent women, because in the Middle Ages, women really had two choices. They could either become nuns and live a cloistered life, which would actually give them some access to wisdom, to libraries, to education. But for the most part, their lives were then celibate and pulled away from society, although many of them did work in infirmaries and with the sick and the poor. However, the Sisters of Belcourt chose another path. Rather than become a nun or become a man's property, a wife in those days, who oftentimes it was kind of not unlike a caste system where women were really sold as property through to someone, to a man perhaps who was widowed, who needed a housekeeper and someone to raise his children. Women had very few rights. And so the Sisters of Belcourt, rather than taking one of those routes, created their own sisterhood. The Sisters of Belcourt are really based on and inspired by the Beguine movement, which was a wonderful movement, independent religious spiritual movement that took place in about the 13th century. And it was in Northern Europe where women would come together, oftentimes women who had means of some sort, and would live together maybe in a house, or sometimes they would buy property actually and create a beguinage, which is where an enclosure, a kind of cloistered enclosure that they would live in. But the difference was they were deeply spiritual women, very intelligent, educated, self-educated through their own stories and sharing and study that they created. And they served the poor. They had hospices. They took care of the sick. But they remained independent from the church of the time, from the Catholic Church. This made them highly suspect, and many of them were burned at the stake as heretics. Now, in the Sisters of Belcourt, in my book, Ink and Honey, they live a similar life, similar to the Beguines. It's a story of women who come together and live in a house called Belcourt, and they create an infirmary. They do help the sick. They feed the poor, And they are midwives and visionaries and mystics and herbalists and incredibly creative women. And they have to live by their wits and by their prayers. And it's a true sisterhood. Now, they're all free to marry. If they were to meet someone and fall in love and want to get married and leave, that would be fine. There's a couple that live in the sisterhood. Two women who are partnered together are part of the sisterhood. There's a grandmother and her granddaughter, and it's truly a family, a sisterhood of women, and they all come together through a series of synchronistic sort of weavings that brings this particular sisterhood of women together. And the interesting thing about the Sisters of Belcour, the big surprise to me when I wrote the book was the response that readers would have. When women read about this kind of a sisterhood where women focused on creating sacred beauty, on having particular rituals and even coined words that were their own sort of language, where they were midwives, where they were healers, where they were able to work their particular gifts into the fabric of each day and share a common life together. Women wrote to me immediately when the book was released and started contacting me and saying, oh, this is what I'm longing for. Mm-hmm. I am seeking this. And I imagine, Chris, in your work too, I mean, you must experience this, you know, where women are craving sisterhood and community. It's really about community, safe community of women, a circle of women where one can fully actualize and share her gifts, her stories, her particular charism. And then what happens is this beautiful collective soul of the sisterhood begins to emerge, because each woman comes and is fed and begins to grow and develop her own strength and her own resiliency for life, and has incredible, a newfound sort of confidence to share her gifts. And as she does that, as each woman on the rim of that circle self-actualizes and brings herself to her fullest, full bloom, if you would, then the combination, the charism of the entire sisterhood begins to take form. And then service can arise out of that. Not only the individual service that each woman is offering to the world, whether it's to knit prayer shawls or to volunteer, you know, at a soup kitchen or to help raise money for a particular charity. Each woman then brings that special charism, whatever that is, but then the sisterhood becomes its own entity and discovers what the collective charism is, and then they in turn can decide what kind of service they would like to bring to the world. So it's not about navel gazing. It's not about just being very insular and focused on your own growth, although that's a very important part of it. The most, I think, beautiful thing about it is that it ripples out, and then it becomes something very useful in the world. And it can be something actively participatory, like literally going out into the streets and demonstrating for a cause or helping to raise money for a charity, that kind of thing. Or it can become a very contemplative, actively contemplative sort of ministry service where maybe the circle, the group of women, is a prayer circle. Maybe they do knit prayer shawls, and that is their ministry, and those are given out in all kinds of myriad ways. I've also heard of groups that knit little hats for babies, for preemies, you know, or people who will go and read to elderly people who can no longer see. I mean, there's so many ways to be of service in this world, in large and small ways. So sisterhood, the Sisterhood of Belcour, to bring it back to your original question, is a model, is a template. It's an ancient way of being for women, but it's an ancient way that can inform our present day and inspire us as women today to truly rethink what does it mean to be part of a community of women? What does it mean to truly be together in a non-competitive way, in a way that is as non-judgmental as possible, in a way where we... To quote the work of Christina Baldwin and Anne Linnea, who teach circle formation and circle training for organizations and for individuals to use in group process work, you know, to really ask for what you need and offer what you can. I think that that is so, so important. And I'm so grateful to Christina and Anne for being my teachers around this whole concept of circle work, pure spirit circling, pure spirit circle work is something that's very powerful, and it's a form, it's an ancient form that that is still so alive in the world today and has so much potential for us today. So in a nutshell,
we use that at Woman. You're talking about the community. You're describing Woman Wisdom in many ways, and we use that model too, Christina Baldwin. We've learned, and so our leadership is a co-leadership. It is a community, you know, and that's, yeah, women are, and there isn't very many places that have this. You have to seek it out, and it's
exactly.
You know, and it's hard in many areas of the country. Well, this is Christina. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Sybil Dana Reynolds.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I've been talking with Dana Reynolds. She's the author of Ink and Honey. Dana, can you give your website information and how people can purchase your book? And
sure. The book is available on Amazon, both in softcover and Kindle. So you can just go to Amazon and go to put in Ink and Honey, and you'll find it. You can also go to my website, which is inkandhoneythebook.com. And the website's great because there's a book trailer there. There's links right to Amazon where you can also find the book. And there's also discussion questions for anyone who might want to suggest the book as a book club read. I've been speaking at lots of book clubs lately, and it seems to be a very popular read for book clubs. So can try that. And then also I offer, you can subscribe for my, I have a 3-day email series that's a free email series of sacred practices for women who write. So that's for all the women writers out there who are, whether you're a journaler or an author or a creative writer, whatever, you might enjoy those practices. So you'll find lots of information at inkandhoneythebook.com.
Well, great. So we were talking about the character, the book, the Belcour, the sisterhood. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like a dozen characters that you've created, these beautiful woman characters that takes place in the 1200s. And they really risked their lives. And they were doing things that, people were being burned for. And as you said, there was the herbalist, there were the healers, there was the, one of the characters that I loved was the visionary. But they also had a dream ritual.
Yes, they did. Paramony.
Mm-hmm. Paramony. Now, where did that come from? Is that something in your mind you created, or have you read about this and people actually did this?
No, that was one of those experiences that I was sharing at the beginning when I was telling you how it was just kind of, I think you used the term too, download, when you just sort of all of a sudden you're inspired, just something just comes into the mind that I really can't explain what the process is. It just appears, and I'm very visual, so usually it's like I'm seeing a movie almost in my mind's eye. And this particular one came one morning after meditation. I was just doing my morning journaling, and I just suddenly saw the women going, round and round in circle with a particular pattern, with a hand on their heart and one hand on the person in front of them, on her shoulder, and they would just go in circle much. You know what comes to me now as I'm describing it? It's almost like Sufi dancing, the Sufis who do the beautiful dance that's just round and round. There's something about the circle. Mm-hmm. That is so universal, that form that takes us, I believe, into a very deep place within ourselves where perhaps we can access something that is archetypal, that's ancient, that maybe lives in our bones that we don't in normal conscious state connect with, but by allowing ourselves some spaciousness and time and a ritual of some sort can help us to access this information that's on another plane. And so the women do this beautiful, it's a dance almost, and then they just sort of fall into a heap and go into a dream state, and each woman had a dream. And of course, there's an intention for the paramony. There's always a question that is being carried during the ritual, and then in entering into a dream state, seeking the answer, and then each woman in the story comes out of that with her particular experience of what happened, and they use this as information to help them discern what the next right step for their entire community is going to be. And the word paramony, I couldn't tell you where that came from. It's one of the coined words. There's a glossary in the back of the book Ink and Honey, which is just kind of its own little educational system. A lot of the words are, some of the words are French that are in the book, and I try to translate whatever I used. And then also that some of the words are totally coined by the Sisterhood of Belcour. They're their own kind of secret words for things, so those are all defined in a glossary at the back of the book to help the reader find her way.
Well, it's such a nice visual of getting to the collective of consciousness of the group that they came, and each voice was honored. So they had these dreams. They worked together to bring this state of mind, mm-hmm. like a Sufi dance, as you said, and mm-hmm. then fell into a heap and dreamed. And each one then came out of that and shared what they saw, and then they came to a decision together. And it's, you know, a great example of collaborative, you know, co-creating leadership. Which is
exactly.
what Sufi leadership is all about. So
yes.
you've written about that very well.
Oh,
and
and
I know what's important to you too, that you want to share with our audience, is the daily sacred practice and how important that is. And maybe you could share what yours is like.
Well, you know, Chris, I think that's just one of the greatest blessings that we can allow ourselves. And I say allow because as women, we are so incredibly busy, most of us, you know, whether you're a young woman with children that you have to get off to school in the morning and then get to work, and whatever your station in life may be, even as someone, you know, as I mentioned, I'm 66, you would think, oh, well, you must have a lot of free time now. Well, not exactly. I don't, you know, but to create that sacred time that is non-negotiable, that cannot be interrupted, that is time to show up to the divine presence. And for me, I guess in my heart of hearts, I truly am a monastic, a contemplative, because many, many mornings I awaken anywhere between the hours of 3 and about 4:30. And for me, that's just the most sacred time of day. I'm usually always awake and up by 6 o'clock at the latest, but many mornings I'm awake at between, you know, the hours of 3 and 4:30. And I come upstairs, and in a corner in my office, I have an altar and some beautiful icons and, statuary that's very meaningful to me, touchstones and so forth. And I light my candles, and I have a small little journal, a really small journal that I write a prayer every day, and I write my kind of my little prayer to God every day. And then I just go into a period of quiet and sitting with God and listening. And then I'll journal for a while. I also thoroughly enjoy something called PrayAsYouGo.org, I believe is the web address. And they have a beautiful every day, a very short meditation, a kind of scriptural reading, and it's very very beautiful, meditative. So I'll listen to that. And then I'll read something that's inspirational. And this whole process for me is usually about an hour and a half. And I know that seems like a tremendous amount of time, but it is what absolutely keeps me going. Because if I didn't have that quiet time in the morning, that quiet, concentrated time to just be still and to listen to God, I would not have guidance for my day, for my work, for my writing, for my relationships, for my life. And so it is my lifeline to have that time of day. And throughout the day, I love to use the phone when it rings, or you can even set your timer on your smartphone or whatever to go off at periods. Much like the monastic bells, the divine office that the monastic, the nuns and the monks follow, where the bells ring seven times throughout the day to bring them back to prayer. Throughout the day, there are times when I just take a moment and breathe and come back into that place I began my day as best I can. And believe me, there are days when I do not do this perfectly. And there are days when I get up and just the demands of life thrust me into the day before I can have my hour and a half of quiet time. And on those days, things don't go nearly the same. And so I really notice the difference. I guess it's a lot like physical exercise is for many people who have to get up and go for their run in the morning or their workout. I must say I'm sort of a sloth when it comes to that. But my spiritual practice is for me what is just the most life-giving thing I can do for the day. And I think it ripples out into my relationships and into my conversations as a spiritual director with the directees that I work with, because there's something about if each of us on this planet really, really, really practiced extreme self-care and taking care of ourselves, can we imagine how the world might run? And again, I really want to reiterate, I don't do this perfectly. I'm not a saint, but these are my best attempts at trying to live a life that's centered and prayerful and intentional. So it's a practice. It really, truly is a practice.
Yes, and it's good to give yourself permission that you can't do it all the time. We all do the best we can. And you can see how it does impact your day. You've shared that. So this is Chris Danis, some Voices of Women. We'll come back soon and continue a conversation with Dana Reynolds.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Get ready to rock. You asked and we delivered. Friday, February 14th, new redesigned interactive websites,
Listen online or download the app. The Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio are bringing the heat. Go to thedrpatshow.com and transformationtalkradio.com. This Friday, you do not want to miss this.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister kind, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women, and that was Lorraine Bay singing our theme song, Woman of Wisdom, and that's available on our Woman of Wisdom CD that you can get on our website at womanofwisdom.org. So I'm talking with Dana Reynolds today. She's the author of Ink and Honey, and she actually won an award for the this historical novel. What was the award you got, Dana?
Oh, it happened recently. I was just so thrilled. It's from the independent publishers. It's the Illuminations Gold Medal Award this year for general fiction, and they highlight exemplary books to inspire the spirit. So it's really a nice honoring. I'm very grateful. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So we've been talking about the book and the sisterhood, and there's a lot of parallels, I think, between what happened then and what's going on for women now and creating creating communities, women coming together. And it's a great way, especially in the world we live in now. We really need that support. We need to come together and honor each other's voice, honor the gifts. That's what shows up in the book. Everyone honored all these 12 women, all the different gifts that they had. They were honored and respected for those gifts. But they had a very kind of almost like a closed community. They didn't get too much until they were forced to move and ended up in another monastery where they become suspect, you know, and had to hide. And that's, you know, and that's where we're at today. I think one of the things, the issues to deal with is we don't want to hide anymore. And they were forced to hide for survival.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's such a good point. And I think also the culture that we're living in today is in some ways not unlike the Sisters of Belcour's culture when it comes to people being in fear. And when people are in fear, things shut down, conversations shut down, relationships, co-creation. There's a spirit of competitiveness and secrecy. And so I think a lot of that exists in our culture today, and that it's time for women once again to really come forward and create sisterhoods. That's really what my next book's all about is sisterhood, and how do we create sisterhood, and how do we also nourish our own spirit in the process, and how do we grow spiritually, grow creatively as an individual, and also in collaboration, co-creation, and in sisterhood.
So that's your new book, The Way of Belcour. So that's
The Way of Belcour, and that's really where I'm drawing on the Belcour wisdom of Ink and Honey, and this book will be also showcasing really the wisdom of Belcour through the archetypes, the spiritual icons, which I'm calling iconotypes. of each woman in the story, and she'll have an opportunity to sort of give her postscript from the world of spirit about what she learned in her life and how that wisdom might be helpful to us. So it'll examine that, and it will also provide a template, a real template, using the Belcourt cross as a kind of holographic template to display and to portray four pathways and four chambers of development for an individual woman and also for sisterhood.
Oh, well, that sounds great. I look forward to seeing that book, which is to finish this spring, I see.
Yes. That's my self-imposed deadline, doing my best. Right.
So one of the other things that you do as a spiritual director is you lead a women's pilgrimage to Chartres Cathedral in France.
Right.
And you're doing one this spring. So maybe you can talk about that. And the importance of pilgrimage, you know, mm-hmm. how that plays in our spiritual life today. It's sort of an old concept and that people used to do. And we find I'm aware of some people doing it, but we're so busy that we tend to forget to do it.
Exactly. Well, I think pilgrimage, if we contemplate for what the medieval pilgrimage was really like, people set out with very little, carrying very little, mostly on foot. It was a time to immerse in the sacred, and the sacred was visible everywhere. And I think that's one of my profound messages and one of my callings, really, for leading these pilgrimages of women to Chartres Cathedral. I'll be doing this with a dear friend and wonderful wise woman, Tricia Kibbe of Seeking the Sacred Tours. She's the director of Seeking the Sacred Tours, and together we'll be taking a group of women to Chartres Cathedral to explore the whole prayerful experience of what pilgrimage is all about. This will not be a walking pilgrimage, like we are not going to walk a period of a distance in France or anything like that. This is really a pilgrimage of the spirit of going from here, from our culture to the French culture, immersing in the cathedral for an entire week, studying everything about it, the architecture, the history, the crypt, and really revisiting some of the places that are mentioned in Ink and Honey as particular places that were important to the story, especially the labyrinth, which is incredibly powerful. To walk on stones that have been there for 800 years on the floor of this cathedral, and to imagine walking in the footsteps of all the pilgrims who came in the Middle Ages and beyond to this magnificent cathedral place that it's a kind of a living reliquary, if you would, for the main relic, which is a piece of fabric, a piece of cloth that many believe was the veil worn by Mary at the time of Christ's birth. It's been carbon dated and documented to have come from Nazareth and contain pollen from that part of the world and to be about 2,000 years old. So
that's a great place to take a pilgrimage to. And so people can find that out about that on your website.
Absolutely.
Which is sacredlifearts.com. So thank
right.
you so much.
Or the Ink and Honey website as well. Mm-hmm.
So I want everybody to check out our website, inkandhoneythebook.com and sacredlifearts.com. And I want to leave everyone with this thought today. How can you create a sacred daily practice for yourself? What would that entail? What do you need to do to set aside the time for yourself? It's all about that, setting aside time for yourself. So this is Chris Danis, and I'm the founder of the Woman of Wisdom Conference and the organization, and also the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. So if you have friends who need some inspiration in your life, in their life or your life, it makes a great gift. It is a compilation of many of the stories and art and poetry from Women of Wisdom, and it's touched many people's lives, just like our conference has. So you can purchase that at womenofwisdom.org. Or it benefits Woman of Wisdom there, and you can also purchase, of course, at Amazon. Next week, I'll be interviewing Vicki Robin, author of the new book, Blessing the Hands That Feed Us. And I also want to share that on March 15th, we're doing a follow-up workshop. I am a follow-up from the conference called Power Up Your Purpose, Walking the Feminine Way, which is just what we've been talking about here with Dana Reynolds. So I hope everyone has a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Join the Pacific Northwest EFT Tappers at the 4th Annual Tappers Gathering this March 1st at Bastyr University. Tapping enthusiasts from across the region will be sharing healing stories, learning different EFT applications, and forging a strong community. This event raises money and awareness for continuing EFT tapping scientific research. All net proceeds go to our 501c3 nonprofit conducting a study showing how EFT can alter gene expression. Bring your cards and information for a fulfilled day of networking and inspiring one another. Visit www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877. www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com. Thank you for listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook/Transformation Radio Network. Tweet and follow us at TransformNet. Visit us at www.transformationtalkradio.com and find us on Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, spiritualnetworks.com, Flickr, Tumblr, and Spreaker. Just search for Transformation Talk Radio. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimeLightRadio.com.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.